All right. Thank you, ladies. We've asked Brother Case to do the Sunday school lesson for us this morning. He does a good job, and I just kind of need a little bit of help. This thing on my face kind of got up into my right eye, and I'm having a hard time seeing what I'm saying. So we're going to ask him to do Sunday school for us. Thank you, Mike.
It is certainly my privilege to do so. Last night as I was going over my notes and everything, the Lord just kind of reminded me of how awesome it is that I get to do this. I am privileged. I feel kind of like maybe Aaron or Hur as they had the opportunity as Moses was facing the enemy and God told him to lift the rod high, and I get the privilege of just standing beside my man of God, my preacher, and holding up the staff. I love it. Man, I'm starting off rough this morning. I'm going to try and teach today, not out of my head, not out of my knowledge. I want to try and show you something out of my heart. I went over my notes over and over and over again, and I rewrote them multiple times, and this morning I looked over my notes and said, these things are so confusing, they're not going to help me at all. I am more interested in what's going to happen this morning than you are, because I know where I want to get. I know what I want to show you from the Word of God. I want to share with you what God has been doing in my heart over the last few years. This is not something that I was reading my Bible one morning and went, wow, look at that, I get that. This is something that has taken me years to start to see and start to begin to understand, and I barely touched the surface of it, but it has drastically changed my life. It has changed my relationships in my home. It has changed my ministry. It has changed absolutely everything I do. And so I'm hoping that maybe we can share just a little bit of that, a little bit of my testimony of some things that have happened over the last few years. And then I'm hoping that in the Word of God, you'll see this little truth that is so very, very important. I want to say thank you to you as a class. I love teaching Dr. Carter's class. You guys have been a blessing to me. I look at this and I go, I don't deserve to be here. I don't deserve to be in this place. I have not earned it. I do not have the right to be here. And I know that there are so many that I am speaking to that have been saved and serving God longer than I've even been alive. And here I am supposed to try and teach you something. I could not get upset at a single one of you that could look at me and say, I ain't listening to you, I'm gonna learn. You're young, you don't know nothing. Yeah, that's probably true. But I have not had a single person that has responded to me as teaching just rudely or incorrectly or unkindly. I appreciate that. Thank you. You've all been an encouragement to me. Thank you so very, very much. Over the last couple years, the Lord has brought me through some difficult times. You ever been there? Some times of struggle, some times of difficulty, some times of pain, shall we say? Now, I am not up here to say that my pain or the struggles I've gone through even can be compared to some of the things that some are going through right now. I have great friends that are going through times right now that I can't even fathom how difficult it must be. And I know that everybody deals with difficult times, and when I compare what I've gone through to what others have to face, I'm going, I really didn't have that difficult of a time. But that didn't change how difficult it was to go through. It was rough. And it really started to show me who I was as a person, as a Christian, as a follower of Christ. It really started to show me who I was. I won't go through all the details, they are totally unimportant, but I came to a point in time in my life to where I kind of took a step back and took an overview of where I was in my faith, and I started to realize that I was falling apart at the seams. Now, I was still doing all the right things. I was still in church, I still worked here at this ministry, I still did all the things that I was supposed to, I was still trying to put my family and my children forth as the perfect Christian home. You ever been there? You're trying to hold everything together, you're trying to make sure that everybody that sees you sees that you've got everything set. But on the inside, you know that you're losing it. That at any moment in time, you're going to lose it and everything's going to blow up. Everything's going to fall apart. And that's where I was at. My relationship with the Lord was more than lacking. And I'd get into the Word of God and I hated doing it. It was a drudgery. I hated studying the Word of God. I came to a point to where I started disliking attending church because it was just a pain. It was just, I wasn't enjoying it the way I used to. Ever been there before? That's where I was at. And I was fighting, I was struggling to do all the right things, and I was struggling to continue on and to press forward and to do as I knew I was supposed to, and it was not working. Nothing was coming together the way that I expected it to. I started to get upset at my God because he wasn't responding to me the way I expected him to respond. I was expecting him to solve my problems and fix everything, and he wasn't doing it, and I was starting to grow bitter, and I knew it. I've been under the preaching of the Word of God and been given great parents and great pastors, and I knew it. I knew something was not right, but I did not know how to fix it. And here I am, as far as I'm concerned, I'm supposed to be the cream of the crop. Born and raised in a Christian home, attended a Christian school. I went to a Bible college. I'm supposed to have it all figured out by now. And I'm falling apart. And so at this moment in time where I'm falling apart, the Lord directed me to a conference that I went to. And I went to this conference hurting. And I, of course, even though I was hurting, I didn't want anybody to know that. And so I go to the conference, and I'm being Mr. Spirituality, of course, just putting on the show when I know inside I'm falling apart. And at this conference, the preacher made a statement. I gleaned a few things from this conference, but the preacher made a statement that I could not get away from. Here's the statement he made. He said, "We do not have a doctrine of works." Now, the moment I heard that, he's trying to sum up the truths from the Word of God, the things that God teaches us, and he says, God does not give us a doctrine, truths from the Word of God, of works. It's not about works. What we have is a doctrine of. Now, when he paused and said, we don't have a doctrine of works, I immediately started thinking, I immediately started filling in the blank with what I thought would be a good place to fill that blank. I thought a good description would be. Now, I believe wholeheartedly that you can actually put a few different terms in there, and it would be correct. My first intuition was, oh, we don't have a doctrine of works. It's a doctrine of a relationship. We are building a relationship with the God of heaven. And all the truths of God's word are bringing us to a point to where we can build a relationship with him. I thought that would be what he would say. It's not what he said. I thought maybe it's a doctrine of faith or a doctrine of grace or mercy. Now, there's a lot of good words you could put in there, but he put in a word that I'd never really thought about before. He said, we have a doctrine of sacrifice. Did anybody else cringe when they first heard sacrifice like I did? I don't like that word, sacrifice. And I thought about that, and I said, we have a doctrine to say, you're going to take everything, the truths from the Word of God, and say, this is all about learning to sacrifice. And I'm going, really? That just can't be true. It can't be. And so I left that conference, and the Spirit of God would not let me go from this statement. I could not stop thinking about it. A doctrine of sacrifice. And so I wanted to immediately disagree with the preacher. I wanted to immediately say it can't be true. It just, that's not true. But then the Spirit of God would say, okay, prove it. Search the scriptures and find out if these things be true or not. And I started going, well, I've never studied sacrifice. I know that it's all throughout the scripture, but I've never really thought about it. So I started personally trying to understand a little bit about sacrifice. And you can find a lot of things, and you can study sacrifice and learn a lot from the Word of God on sacrifice. You go through the Old Testament and the different types of sacrifices that God implemented. Every single one of them is jam-packed, full and overflowing of truths from the Word of God that we can still apply to our lives today. But as I looked over, and I did not do an exhaustive study of sacrifice, I just wanted to see what is it that I'm supposed to sacrifice? What is it that God wants from me? And I started looking at all the things that others had sacrificed through the past, through the stories of Scripture. And one thing stuck out to me greatly. I really haven't sacrificed much. I'm blessed. I've never had to sacrifice a lot of what others have had to do. And so I came out of that study saying, I really need to sacrifice more. I need to do more for God. That's what I'm missing, is I need to sacrifice. If this preacher is true, then if this is all about sacrifice and that's what I'm doing wrong, I need to sacrifice more. And so I entered into a time in my life to where I'd said, I'm going to give God everything I've got. If I've got a spare 30 minutes, it's going to be a spare 30 minutes that I'm going to spend wholeheartedly on Him and His word. I'm going to do more soul winning. I'm going to do more Bible reading. I'm going to do more for Him. And you know what happened? I hated serving Him. I began to hate it. Every time I come, I'm being completely honest with you. I work here at the church on staff. I'm supposed to be the example. And I would come to church and I would come to my work and I would not want to be here. I began to hate it, and I began to struggle, and I began to fight, and I, in my heart's honesty, I came to a spiritual breaking point. I came to a point to where I remember crying out to God, saying, if this is not going to work, then I'm done. What is the point of sacrificing so much if I can't even reach you? Felt like my prayers were just falling flat on the ground in front of me. Ever been there? That's where I was at. It was at this moment that I want to take you to the passage of Scripture that God brought me to, the passage that God used to show me something that I was missing. In all of my growing up in church, in all of my being raised in the right doctrines, I missed the core foundation of where I was supposed to be at. I was so focused on what I was doing, the work that I was accomplishing, the things that I was sacrificing, that the foundation I had laid under my entire faith was nothing but sand. And as the storms of life started to attack, as they do and will, every single one of us, I found my foundation crumbling. And the Lord had to show me some things that my foundation was wrong, and I needed to get the first things right before I could move on to the next things. I was over here building my house. I was shining the windows, and God was trying to point out in my life, okay, that's great, that's nice, but your foundation's wrong, and you need to fix the foundation. I want you to turn with me, if you would, to Isaiah and chapter number 1. Isaiah and chapter number 1. We're going to look through this story in Isaiah and glean one truth, one thing that I hope you can leave this Sunday school class and ponder on and think about and apply it to your life and ask the honest, simple questions that I had to ask myself. Isaiah and chapter number 1, and we're going to read a few verses here. You can follow along with me. Isaiah 1. Starting in verse number 1. The vision of Isaiah, the son of Amoz, which he saw concerning Judah and Jerusalem in the days of Uzziah, Jotham, Ahaz, and Hezekiah, kings of Judah. Hear, O heavens, and give ear, O earth, for the Lord hath spoken. I have nourished and brought up children, and they have rebelled against me. This is not a time of good times in Israel. This is a time where God says, you are my people, you are my children that I have raised up, and they are living in rebellion against him. Verse number 3, the ox knoweth his owner and the ass his master's crib, but Israel doth not know, my people doth not consider. Ah, sinful nation, a people laden with iniquity, a seed of evildoers, children that are corruptors. They have forsaken the Lord. They have provoked the Holy One of Israel unto anger. They are gone away backward. Verse 5, why should ye be stricken anymore? ye will revolt more and more. The whole head is sick. The whole heart faint. This reminded me of me where I was at. It's not just an outward problem we're dealing with. The whole head, the whole heart is faint. There's an inward problem going on in the nation of Israel. Verse 6, from the sole of the foot even unto the head, there is no soundness in it, but wounds and bruises and putrefying sores. They have not been closed, neither bound up, neither mollified with ointment. Your country is desolate. Your cities are burned with fire. Your land, strangers devour it in your presence, and it is desolate as overthrown by strangers. And the daughter of Zion is left as a cottage in a vineyard, as a lodge in a garden of cucumbers, as a besieged city. Israel is in a time of attack, and a time where they are being attacked by outside nations, and they are losing the battles. They are not in the position God wants them to be. They are not in a strengthful nation. They do not have the power of God like God desired for them to have. They are living in rebellion. This is a horrible time. I could draw a lot of parallels with this time of Israel in our own nation. I can point and we can go through these verses and we can see, yeah, that sounds a lot like America today. How bad was it? Verse 9, except the Lord of hosts had left unto us a very small remnant, we should have been as Sodom, and we should have been like unto Gomorrah. God looked at Israel and said, you remind me of how bad Sodom and Gomorrah. You remind me, the wickedness is that bad. And just like Abraham had come to God and said, would you save Sodom and Gomorrah if there be 50 or 40 or down to 10? And God promised he would. God looked at Sodom and Gomorrah and could not find that remnant. And Sodom and Gomorrah were destroyed. At this time in Israel's history, God looked and he could still find a remnant. And but for that remnant of those that were trying to do what was right, if it was not for that remnant, God would have wiped Israel out and started over. But there was a remnant. Now I wanted to claim to be part of that remnant. I want to claim to be part of those that are trying to do what's right. And in my heart, I'm screaming out to God, that's what I'm doing. I'm trying to do this. And I came to verse number 10. Hear the word of the Lord, ye rulers of Sodom. Give ear unto the law of our God, ye people of Gomorrah. To what purpose is the multitude of your sacrifices unto me, saith the Lord? I am full of burnt offerings of rams and the fat of fed beasts, and I delight not in the blood of bullocks or of lambs or of he-goats. When ye come to appear before me, who hath required this at your hand to tread my courts? In this time of great wickedness, in this time of rebellion against God, the people were still doing all the work, all the sacrifice that God told them to do. They were still doing all the right things, and God was sick of it. God looked at his people that were doing all the right things and said, I am full. You remember your mom ever looking at you as a child and saying, that's it, I've had enough, I've had it up to here? You knew when mom used those phrases, you'd better stop, and you'd better stop in a hurry. She had had enough. This is the point that Israel has pushed God to. And I'm looking at this saying, wait a minute. They're doing this. Who implemented the sacrifices? God did. They're doing what God told them to do. And God's saying, that's it. Enough. Stop. He goes beyond just that. In verse number 13, bring no more vain oblations. Incense is an abomination unto me. The new moons and Sabbaths, the calling of assemblies, I cannot away with. It is iniquity, even the solemn meeting. They're coming to God's house. They're coming to the temple. They're giving the sacrifices. They're burning the incense. And God looks at his people and says, it is iniquity. You're doing the right things, and it's wrong. And I'm looking at this and I'm going, how can they do all the right things and God be tired of it? How can I come to church every single Sunday and God come to a point in my relationship with him where God looks at me in my mind's eye at the door of the church and says, just go home. I'm tired of it. Just go home. Where I could go out soul winning and knock on somebody's door and God in my mind is standing behind me just going, go home. I'm tired of this. Stop sacrificing your time for me. I'm sick of it. I'm full. How could this be possible? Verse 14, your new moons and your appointed feasts, my soul hateth. They are a trouble unto me. I am weary to bear them. And when ye spread forth your hands, I will hide mine eyes from you. Yea, when you make many prayers, I will not hear. Your hands are full of blood. And I hit that verse and I realized, God, that's where I'm at. I pray and I don't feel like you're listening. God, I come and I spread forth my hands and I'm looking for you and I can't find you. Where are you, God? What is going on? And I started to wonder and I had to ask the question, am I the remnant or am I this people over here in rebellion doing all the right things and God's fed up? And I came to a point where God had to break me. And that's exactly where he wanted me. God had to break me, and I started seeking out God, going, asking the honest question. And I honestly looked at God and said, God, is it time for me to quit church? Are you tired of me? Are you sick of me? That's what God is telling Israel. Is he telling that to me? God, are you sick of all the things that I work, all the things that I sacrifice? Am I making you sick? And it was at this point that God drew me back to the psalmist David. And David, as he had messed up and he had sinned against God and his relationship with God had been tattered and torn and ripped apart and he could not find his Savior the way he used to. And he knew he had messed up and he came to repair that relationship. In Psalm chapter number 51 in verse 16, here's what David said. For thou desirest not sacrifice, else would I give it. Thou delightest not in burnt offerings. David realized that if I was going to rebuild this relationship, if I could give a sacrifice to do it, I would give it all. But God didn't want that sacrifice. God never delighted in the sacrifices of blood animals. That's not what he delighted in. That was an ends to a means. A means to an end, I believe, is the way it's supposed to go. There was something more important God wanted. What was it? David knew what it was. Verse 17, the sacrifices of God are a broken spirit. A broken and a contrite heart, O God, thou wilt not despise. You see, there's a difference between doing all the right things and doing all the right things for the right reasons. I can be in church and do all the right things to where everybody around me and even myself, I can praise myself of, look how good I am. I'm doing all the right things. And God's sick of it because he didn't want the sacrifice of blood and lambs. He wanted the sacrifice of a heart. In Israel, there was still a remnant of people that when they walked into the temple and brought their lamb, they brought their ram before the priest. There was still a remnant that were not doing it out of obligation. We're not sacrificing because they had to. We're not doing it because mom and dad told them this is what you're supposed to do. They were doing it out of their hearts. And it was a work, it was a sacrifice that started in the heart. And God started showing me that as a Christian, there is only one thing he ever wants from me. And that's my heart. And I was reminded of those times in the scriptures like Isaiah 29:13, where God says, "Wherefore the Lord said, for as much as this people draw near me with their mouth and with their lips do honor me, but have removed their heart far from me, and their fear toward me is taught by the precept of men." This is where I was. I'm still honoring him with my lips and my actions and my sacrifices. I'm still doing all the right things, but I'm doing it with all the wrong motives. I'm doing it with all the wrong heart. I'm doing it for the wrong reasons, and God was sick of it. I came to this point where I said, "God, I don't want to be here anymore. If it takes," and I honestly came to the point, "if it takes me quitting every single thing I am doing for you for me to gain you, then I'll do it. If I never stand behind a pulpit and have the privilege of preaching your word again, I'll do it." Because I came to a point to where I realized God does not want me to be a preacher if he doesn't have my heart. God doesn't want me to serve him if he doesn't have my heart. And I realized that as a Christian, I had gotten so busy doing all the outside things that I forgot how important it was to keep the inside right. I needed to get my heart right with my Savior. This is when God directed me to Mark 12 and verse 30. "And thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart and with all thy soul, with all thy mind, and with all thy strength. This is the first commandment." And I realized how awesome God's word is, that if I could get this right, everything else will start falling in place. If I could get my foundation right, if I could build my Christian walk and my faith on the foundation of my heart being in tune with him, then any storm can attack and I can stand. Amen. Because I'm not standing on my own abilities. I'm standing on my relationship, my love for him. Amen. I can continue to stand even in this day and age when America starts falling apart. My home can stand. My home, this excites me more than anything else. My home can still produce children that are honoring to the Savior in this day and age. Amen. Because I have a God that can do great and mighty things. Amen. But I can't claim a single one of those promises if I'm just doing all the right things for all the wrong reasons. I had to come to the simplest of questions that I started from at the very beginning. Do I really love him? I believe that every single person, though their salvation testimonies are different, though the way that God drew you to himself is completely unique, every relationship is unique, but I believe that every person has been saved the exact same way. Not one person goes to heaven because they're scared of hell. You cannot come to a point where you realize how horrible the future of hell is and say, "I don't want to go there, so now I'm saved." No. But the knowledge of a place called hell can scare you enough to where you start looking around and you find and you hear about someone that loves you. And you hear about a Savior that was willing to die for you. And you find out about him and you fall in love with him. And when you fall in love with him, do you remember that day? Do you remember that day that you got saved? That day that you really saw that Christ loved you enough that he would forgive you, that he would save you, if you would just come to him, if you would just call on him, and you fell in love with him. And because you fell in love with him, you began to trust him. And you put your faith in him. I wish I had time to go through the scriptures on this, but faith which worketh by love. They're knit. Love produces our faith in Christ. That's where I started with my faith. That's where my faith, where the seed of faith was planted within me. And I began to grow as a Christian. And every single day of my life, you know where I need to come back to? That same spot. And the moment I start getting away from that spot, I can be doing all the right things for all the wrong reasons. Here's the question I had to ask myself. God, how do I love you? How is that done? God, if I'm supposed to love you the way that I'm supposed to, would you show me? All my heart, all my soul, all my strength, all my mind. God, what does that mean? And God's word will direct us on what that means. And I am amazed. That is the core DNA of what being a Christian is all about. The core of what being a Christian is not what you do. It's not what you sacrifice unless it's the sacrifice that he wants. We do have a doctrine of sacrifice, but he only accepts one, and that's a broken and a contrite heart. I want to ask you the same question that I had to ask myself. Are you doing all the right things because you love him, or are you doing all the right things for the wrong reasons? Lord, I love you. I thank you so much for giving me this time. Lord, I ask that you would just work in hearts in a way that I never could. Help me, help every single one of us, Lord, to turn our hearts back towards you. Lord, if we have fallen out of love with you, if something else has gained or captured the attention of our hearts, I plead, Lord, that you would draw us close to yourself. And it's in your name we pray. Amen. Preacher?
Thank you, Brother Case. Thank you for sharing your heart with us. Folks, that was pure gold. I hope you got it. Amen. Well, Sunday school didn't do so good in our count, 722, but we praise God for that, and hope we got some more coming in. Take a few minutes here for a little break before the preaching service.